Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
My name is Tina Rexing. I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I am the owner of T-Rex Cookie Company.
Awesome. So I'm just curious more about your company. Like, what inspired you to start this business?
So I was a competitive baker for a little over 17 years while I was working in corporate. So I have a background in data analytics. I also have a background in contract negotiations and math, essentially. And during that time I was in corporate, I worked with big companies like Delta Airlines, Target, Thomson Reuters. But during that time, as a hobby, I would just bake cookies and bake things for competition, and I would test it on all my colleagues. And in my mid to early 40s, I pretty much said I'm done with corporate, and I quit my job on my birthday, and I decided that I wanted to sell cookies at the local Minneapolis farmers market. So that was like the business plan where I launched in 2015 was, you know, I just want to sell cookies and we'll see what happens. 8 months later, I landed on the Today Show and completely changed the trajectory of the company, changed my business plan, where basically I had to grow in terms of there was a demand for the product. And so I ended up with a commercial kitchen, because at the time I was actually renting a commercial kitchen and sharing with other food companies, which is a real pain in the ass. I don't know if I can like swear on this
podcast. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can.
Perfect. I love that. So I ended up being a cafe owner for a couple of years because I was able to have my own kitchen space. But then I lost kind of track of like having to focus on cookies, and I became a restaurant owner, essentially. But that's kind of like the starts of T-Rex Cookie. After that, it's kind of a long and drawn out story. So I'm sure we'll get to that during your question and answer.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm curious more about these baking competitions, because I didn't know that that was like a thing. So I'm curious like how that works. And yeah, like, how did you win those contests?
Well, basically, it was not very big way back when I started competing in the 1900s. 1997 was my first baking competition, and they were pretty much only at the Minnesota State Fair. You know, so once a year you submit your products, and then you submit your baked goods, and they're judged by like old ladies. They were home ec teachers. And for me, just something you know about me, one of my biggest strengths is competition, if you've ever taken StrengthsFinder. And in a nutshell, my number one strength is competition, meaning I don't do anything unless there's scoring involved. Like, I don't play board games for fun. I don't play golf for fun. I have to keep score. And that's no different than baking, I guess. You just kind of have to want to know that you're the best one. So I've competed for 17 years. And once you launch a company and you become a professional baker, you're not allowed to compete anymore.
For sure. So you mentioned that you had a restaurant. Now you don't. So what is your, you know, your business today? Is it mostly retail, food service, D2C, Amazon? What does that look like for you?
I call it like an octopus of a business model. So I actually just give you the background of why I left the restaurant. So I had a cafe / coffee shop bakery in Minneapolis, and it was in an old building. And it was such a cute little space. But then a developer came around and bought the building, and they were going to turn it into a high-rise set of condos. So I'm like, okay, I'm out. So it gave me a reason to actually move out of the restaurant business into my own like bakery space in the suburbs. And as all small business owners that do business in large cities know, it's a challenge to work in a big city, just because the city council likes to press like rules and regulations and laws on small business owners that don't make it really small business friendly. So yeah, Minneapolis is not a small business friendly place. So I moved to the suburbs and changed the business model, where in the past, my cafe, you know, person A from the U of University of Minnesota would come in and they would buy a $2 cup of coffee and use my Wi-Fi all day. So it wasn't profitable venture. So what I ended up doing when I opened in the burbs, I decided to have a bakery. You come in, you get your cookies and you leave. We don't serve food, we don't serve coffee. You just come in, you get your stuff and you go home. And that's a good business model that works from a retail perspective. Meanwhile, we also have a wholesale side of the business where we actually wholesale a baked packaged product to a number of breweries around town. We also have a food service product that is sold to US Foods and they sell it to restaurant groups. So people sell the cookies on their dessert menus. We also have a branch of my company that is in grocery stores. So you could buy the frozen dough and bake it in your own house. So that's called CPG. So that's another part of the business. We also have our cookies at the US Bank Stadium. So we sell stadiums and it's also at the Excel Center. So one of our cookies, it's a half a pound. We sell them in the stadiums for $10. So, like I said, a lot of little arms of the company. But at the end of the day, we just sell big ass cookies. It's the same cookie, regardless of what venue you're in or what state it's in.
So, do you do direct to consumer or Amazon, or is it just these are like other channels that you mentioned?
Yeah, we do online. So we do direct to consumer. If you in Texas or wherever in the country do nationwide shipping, we do it ourselves. And we also partner with Goldbelly, which is an online, I want to call them a food consolidator. So we use Goldbelly also, but we're not on Amazon. I did some research on Amazon and just like the fees they charge are no different than the fees that grocery stores charge. So we sell direct to consumer both in my bakery as well as we do pop-ups around town. So you'll still see us in a food truck or at a like an art fair, or we'll do those kinds of events because at the end of the day, it's good margin.
For sure. So when you're doing D2C or when you're just meeting your customers in person, obviously you have like a pretty good customer profile, right? So who's like an ideal customer for your products? And even I guess from when you first started to now, like any of that surprise you just like essentially, yeah.
Our main customer profile is essentially women that are, it's very specific. Women between the ages of 18 to like 60 who are educated and have families. So that's like the target audience, but at the end of the day, we're selling cookies. I can tell you who my target customer is not. It's not the gluten-free, health-conscious person because we're not gluten-free. We're one cookie's about 1100 calories. All right. So it's not a single serve. I always tell people that it's one cookie, but it's 7.5 servings. So according to the FDA, what surprised me was the people who buy my cookies. What we had a group of bodybuilders who apparently starved themselves to death up until competition, and then after competition, they will buy my cookies. Also people who are, if they have cheat days during their diets, they use my cookies as a cheat day because at the end of the day, it's a cleaner product than if you buy a bag of Oreos or, a Twinkie or whatnot. It's a good,
Right.
healthier alternative on a cheat day.
For sure, yeah. Because like when you're making it, the ingredients for sure are cleaner than a lot of these like in a mass produced cookies. So,
I mean, to be honest, we are quote unquote mass produced.
right.
But what I chose to put into my product versus my other competition is a lot cleaner. I mean, one of my biggest competitors doesn't use butter. She uses margarine, and no one knows what's in margarine. So, we use butter, we use real eggs, and there's nothing fake about it.
Awesome. So, in terms of your focus now, like what are you focused on? Are you focused on expanding into more on grocery or D2C? Like, what is your biggest focus right now?
Our biggest focus right now is an actual capital raise. So, since the 9 years I started the company, I've been completely self-funded. I own 100% of the company. But in order to grow to the next level, essentially to grow the brand and take the brand to the next place, really will require me to reach out to possible investors who want to help me get there. So we're in the midst right now of writing my pitch deck, shopping the pitch deck around to certain people who like are independently wealthy, I guess you could say. I've talked to private equity, I've talked to venture capital, and right now I don't have the appetite to deal with that and that kind of investor. right now I'm kind of reaching out to the people who knew me in my corporate life, who knew my skill set, so I don't have to constantly be in the state of proving my skills, because that's what happens when you pull in like a private equity company and they just want to, you know, nitpick the shit out of you. I want to show, you know, my investors that I have the skill set and they don't have to look over my shoulder.
Right. Like, have you thought about going on like, or trying to get on like, you know, Shark Tank or on one of these shows to raise money?
I actually have been on Shark Tank.
Oh, you have? Okay.
So
okay.
I've done, in 2019, I went through the entire process of, I guess, 10,000 people applied. I went through the entire process, which is like 3 months of my life I'll never get back. You know, at the end of the day, Shark Tank is TV. And right. If you're not interesting TV, which I kind of purposely was not interesting TV, because 2 weeks prior to you going onto the show or them flying you there, they tell you who your sharks are going to be. And my shark that I wanted to work with wasn't going to be there. And that's Barbara, because she is the only one that actually understands food. Right. Or actually cares about investing in food. And right. So she wasn't going to be there. So I completely changed my pitch to like memorize the shit out of my numbers and make sure I don't sound like a complete moron. So, you know, I went on, I filmed with the sharks, I did all that craziness. And then at the end of the day, you're in this cone of silence for 9 months. And then they tell you whether or not they're going to air you.
Right.
And
if they don't air you, then you're not going to obviously be able to get a deal, right?
Yeah, well, I didn't get a deal because I really didn't want one at the time. And then they didn't air me and I'm supposed to like not talk about it. But, you know, I have to get something out of it. So I will talk about it. I just don't talk about like the yucky details of what goes on behind the scenes. And that's essentially the NDA is don't talk about all the details. But from an experience standpoint, if you have the opportunity to go on the Shark Tank, it's a really good experience as a company because it forces you to dump out your company as like a junk drawer and sift through it and to really understand your company, because you cannot go on there unprepared.
Would you be able to get back on, or it's like, I don't even know if that's something else. It's like
I could, but the amount of money I need to raise to get to that next place is more than they would probably be willing to give me.
Makes sense.
And it's Shark Tank's great for like the small business owner that's really, really needs to like, can't bootstrap it themselves.
Right. It's good for publicity, but like, you know, that you're going to get whacked with your valuation because you're like, oh, like we're sharks, you know, we're going to give you a sharky offer. And all. It's just, that's just how it is. Yeah.
It's TV at the end of the day. Yeah, and by the way, when you are on that show, you sign away any right of how they edit it. So they can make you look like a moron. And then we've, you know, that's the good TV. And by the way, my episode would have aired on the day the country shut down because of COVID.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it was good for me because no one would have given a shit about my episode because everyone was worried about being trapped in their house.
Hey, y'all. It's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing. And I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? You want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technology like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, so I guess like with the raise, right? So like once you raise money, are you going to focus more on D2C or like more on like grocery? What is your vision for the company?
Grocery is kind of a secondary, like it's just there because grocery at the end of the day for me is the margins are so tiny and it's really groceries and CPG is essentially there for me as like, hey, look, I have the presence there. My target for this raise, actually, it's kind of a stair-stepped raise, is really B2C. I'm sorry, B2B, because really focusing on the food service side of the world, we have just entered in a few restaurant chains and it's been great for us because they sell it as a T-Rex cookie.
Right.
And the brand journey for a customer is, oh, look, I bought it for $12 at a Vikings game, and then I'm going to be able to go into a restaurant and buy it for $10 and it's got ice cream on it. And then, oh, by the way, I can actually go into the grocery store and get it also. So it's less about the product itself. So when people think of me as a food company, yes, I'm a food company, but what I'm trying to build here is a brand. And if I can build a solid brand, then my exit seems a little bit more profitable than if I just open a bunch of franchises, right? I'm not a crumble.
Right.
Right. I don't want to open franchises. Maybe, unless someone wants to.
So in terms of food service, right? Because like you mentioned that you're, in like the Viking Stadium and, places locally, right? So is your vision to kind of grow within like the Midwest first, maybe expand like other stadiums, things like that, like in the Midwest, and then kind of expand out that way?
Yes, definitely. I learned our lesson when we first went into CPG grocery that we expanded too far too quickly. And the whole concept of a half pound cookie didn't make sense to a lot of people. They're like, what is that? Right? And here in Minneapolis, people know the brand. People know me. I've been on TV to talk about it. So it's a lot easier to sell it because they know it. Once we got out to as far east as Washington, D.C., it was a kind of a painful, place to be. And so we kind of are using, I'm swearing, we are using 2024 to really unfuck the business in terms of like, we went out too far, so let's bring it all back in. We left Target. Target was super painful to be in because it was expensive. And, it's super competitive where I'm at. I'm in the frozen dessert section. So there's only so much freezer space for my product. So really bringing it back in, we picked up Hy-Vee, which is local, and we're kind of like upper Midwest right now. And we're gonna be smarter about expansion
That's a good point.
going
Yeah, I
forward.
think that's a good idea. I mean, yeah, for sure. If you can grow locally and within your market, maybe try and expand like other venues within Minnesota, maybe even go into like, Wisconsin, places that are closer where people might,
Yeah, we
recognize
are
it.
in Wisconsin. We are out there now. Wisconsin, Illinois, as far south as Kansas City. But we also just opened in the airport. So just having that kind of presence is really more about growing the brand.
For sure. So speaking of all that, right, what would you say is the biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
I would say be careful what you wish for. Because I mentor a lot of small business owners, and their goal is to be a gazillionaire. Their goal is to expand quickly, far out and wide. And if you do not have a team around you that can either help you do that or supporters that can help you do that, it makes that journey so much more painful when you do grow. So success is not necessarily, I want to say more doors, more people. Success is really being able to understand your business. 98% of the people you small business owners you would probably talk to, startups, have no idea what their margins are. And they have no idea like how to even pay themselves, right? So my biggest advice to people is find a finance person, find an attorney, make sure that they have their shit together, because once you get big, it gets really, really messy. So I've been lucky to have a pretty good attorney from the very beginning. And then I switched into a bigger group of finance people who can understand and take all my stuff and tell me how exactly I'm doing each of my branches of business.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
1 year from now, I'm kind of hoping to have established some sort of capital raise and then trying to figure out like, okay, let's hire a group of salespeople that can get us out there. Because right now I have a group of 15 people, three are full time. I want to obviously be able to pay them more. So that's part of our capital raise is like, let's build a team that's going to be strong. And a year from now, I'm probably not going to be like where I'm going to want to be from an exit perspective, but I at least would have laid the groundwork to do that.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Tina@trexcookie.com. And by the way, my name is Tina Rexing. That's why it's T-Rex. Get it? Or they could check my website at trexcookie.com.
Awesome. Well, Tina, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.